All right. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Golden Bowl, the sound of Laurier Sports. This is live from Radio Laurier Studios here in the heart of Waterloo on Laurier's Waterloo campus. My name's Ian Bale. I'm the only one in the studio today for this edition of Golden Bowl, where we talk professional sports, we talk local sports, we talk campus sports, we talk everything going around in the world of athletic competition. As the semester is kind of winding down here, I'm sure you noticed, just a couple weeks away from final exam season, another term in the books, which is absolutely wild. I had a midterm yesterday. Of course, it was one of the classes where they have two midterms. So this is the second midterm, of course, yesterday, and I probably flunked it. So it was a good moment. You ever take a midterm and like feel the urge? You need to go like lay down in a forest somewhere, just reconnect with nature. You ever think you flunked a test so bad you go and forage? You gather. That's where I'm at right now. This is quality radio content. This is Cold and Bold. And of course, as the term winds down, so does Laurier Athletics. Of course, as they get set for all the student athletes to engage in final examinations, of course. And that means the OUA seasons are also winding down. Of course, this past week saw the culmination of women's hockey and men's hockey. Of course, women's hockey, they fight for the Macaw Cup. Men's hockey, they fight for the Queen's Cup in OUA championships. And of course, those games came last week. So just after last week's episode, so I couldn't cover the finals, but the results are in this past weekend. Women's hockey won by the Toronto Varsity Blues. The Toronto Varsity Blues, the UFT female hockey squad, is the OUA Macaw Cup champion. Of course, that game was fought just down the road, 5 minutes away, essentially, at U-Waterloo. Of course, U-Waterloo was the home team. Of course, they scored two, UFT scoring three, regulation to win the Macaw Cup championship. Of course, again, that was held at Columbia Icefields just down the road. And it was a stunning game. UFT winning 3-2. They scored three goals in a row. They scored the first three goals of the game, two in the first and one in the second. And then Waterloo scoring two in the third, of course. So it was 3-0 heading into the third. Then U-Waterloo from Carly Orth, who has been one of the offensive stalwarts for the Warriors, scores one within the first 5 minutes of the period, make it a 3-1 game. And then it was too little too late, as Waterloo did add an empty netter in the final 30 seconds of the game. 1932, Nikki McDonald scores. Assist from who other but Tatum James, of course. Tatum James, a player who drove the stake into the heart of Laurier in the opening round of the Women's Hockey Championship, cannot do the same against UFT, as UFT wins the Macaw Cup Championship. Of course, UFT also notable players, notable goal scorers include Taylor Delahi, Emma Irwin, and Sophie Grauberger. Emma Porter finds her way on the score sheet, and so does Caitlin McKnight, who, of course, Kate McKnight, I try to shout out when I can. Of course, me and her are from the same graduating class at Barry North in Barry, so great to see her get on the score sheet with an assist on the game-winning goal, but also in her third year, she is a Macaw Cup championship. Congratulations to Caitlin McKnight. Congratulations to all of the Varsity Blues. On the men's side, the Varsity Blues were in action, but not for the gold medal game, for the bronze medal game. But the men's team for the Varsity Blues cannot get it done, as they lose the bronze medal game to the Queens Gaels. They get shut out 4-0. But the main event, the gold medal game, the Queens Cup championship, men's hockey, OUA Immortality, won by Concordia. Of course, they're at TMU, Toronto Metropolitan Bold. I was going to say Toronto Metropolitan Blues. No, it's Toronto Metropolitan Bold. Of course, named after a Microsoft Word choice. Nonetheless, they lose 1-4. Their only goal coming in the third on the power play, scored by Chris Playfair. But of course, Concordia getting a power play goal an even strength goal, then two empty net goals to seal the deal. So you see the score line. This happens a lot in hockey, and it's something you kind of have to pay attention to get a more, you know, holistic view of the two teams in action. So the final of this game, Concordia 4, TMU 1. I can say that, and you'll just go, oh, okay, well, that's 4-1. That's winning by 3 goals. That's a romp. It's not like a shutout. But Concordia very handily won that game. TMU wasn't close. And just one single click into the box score, you'll realize that, wait, half of Concordia goals were empty netters. Coming in the final minute, 1924, 1958, 2 seconds left, they scored an empty netter. Which means they're up 2-1. And then TMU pulled their net, and then Concordia got 2 goals with no goalie in the net for them. So it was a close game. It's 2-1 to the final minute of the third. And of course, TMU's on the losing end of the scoreboard. So they pulled their goalie to get the extra attacker. So it's 6-on-5 for TMU, down by 1. And Concordia able to send the puck the other way. You get 2 empty netters. It's always a strange thing, too, when you get with the first empty netter. Now you're down 3-1. It's like, well, you let in an empty netter. So obviously, your 6-on-5 attack isn't clicking. But you're also down by 3-1's championship game. You have 30 seconds left. You kind of have to pull the empty. You have to pull the goalie again. You have to make an empty net again. You don't want to. It didn't work out last time. But you need every advantage you get, especially in a championship game. They pull the goalie again, and they get burned again for just 2 seconds left. So it was it was close to a 3-1 final. But it ended up being a 4-1 final on the unassisted empty net goal by Alexander Nadeau, of course, out of Concordia. With 2 seconds left in that game. Goal scorers for TMU, just one, of course, the aforementioned power play marker from Chris Playfair, assisted by Condetta and Savard. And then Concordia goal scorers, there are 4 of them. On the power play to open the scoring in the first period, Nick Giroux. And then just a minute later, also in the first, it was Alexander Gaudio. And then the 2 empty netter markers, the aforementioned Nadeau marker with 2 seconds left. And then 36 seconds left just before that. It was an empty netter marker from Sean La Rochelle, of course, assisted by Mathieu Bizier. Okay, these are French names. Mathieu Bizier and Nicolas Giroux, of course, who scored the opening marker of the championship game. So Concordia are the Queen's Cup champions, and UFT is the Macaw Cup championships, as the only way hockey season comes to a close. Also in Laurier Athletic News, or OUA Athletic News, of course, as covered last week, of course, Clara Chisholm and Sarah Howell. Clara Chisholm, of course, the standout rookie for Laurier women's hockey team. Leading point scorer on the team. She gets named to U Sports All Rookie Team for women's hockey. So does Sarah Howell, who had an amazing latter half to the season and really took the net from Kayla Renault on that women's hockey team and really got the starts in the playoffs. And she had a great season for her first OUA campaign. She's also named to the U Sports All Rookie Team for women's hockey. Elsewhere in swimming news, Johnny Avila is competing for U Sports Team Canada. In their annual match against England University Athletics. So it's Team Canada University Athletics versus England University Athletics, and Laurier's own Johnny Avila will competing on the swim team for that face-off. And of course, in football news, haven't talked about football for a long, long time, of course, as they're opening their spring camp in 3 days, March 24th. Laurier Golden Hawks and their new recruits and prospects will be starting their spring camp. Of course, 2 weeks, of course, last week of March and the first week of April as they get ready for summer and fall of football. Athletes of the Week, courtesy of the Hawk Shop, of course, for men's curling, Kibo Malima. Of course, he was the skip that led the Golden Hawks to a 7-2 record. And as mentioned in the last program, of course, both curling teams, men's and women's, winning U Sports gold medal. National University champions are these men's and women's curling squads. So, of course, the men's skip and the women's skip will be the athletes of the week. Men's, Kibo Malima, of course, also named a U Sports first team All-Canadian. But so was our second athlete of the week, Emma Artichuk. And on the women's side, of course, capturing the U Sports championship, undefeated 9-0 record at the championships in Lethbridge, Alberta. And, of course, also named to U Sports first team All-Canadian. So Curling looks bright and had a terrific season here at Laurier. As we move on out of OUA and U Sports Championship news into we'll put it up a notch. We'll go campus. We'll go to local now, and we'll discuss the OHL's Kitchener Rangers. Of course, the OHL team for the Tri-Cities here. We love the soundboard. Big cheers for the Richard Kitchener Rangers. As of course, they have past a week or so, they've clinched their playoff position. They're third in the West, and they might be fighting for seconds in the West. Of course, they're at 98 points. Of course, seconds, of course, is 96 points. Windsor Spitfires, which is weird. 96 points should be below the 98 points, but Spitfires are on top of their division, so they get the nod ahead in the standings. All that fun stuff to say that Rangers are behind the Spitfires and the phenomenal London Knights team this year. Of course, they're first in the West, first in the league, and of course, they were the first team to clinch any sort of playoff spot. They're at 110 points with two games left to go in the season, and no one else is even at 100. So great season for the London Knights. Of course, the Rangers play two more games this season. They're at 66 games played out of 68. They play tonight at home. Get your tickets now. Kitchener Memorial Auditorium. They play at the Odd. They're taking on the visiting Owen Sound team. And they have two games left to go. One tonight, Owen Sound at Kitchener. So that's at home. And then they also play Sunday for the final game of the regular season. That's an away game. But that's an away game in Guelph. So that's like 20 minutes from being a home game, just up Highway 7. They play at the Sleeman Center against the Guelph team. So two more games left to go for the Rangers. If you're a hockey fan, Laurier hockey's done, and the Marlies and the Leafs are too far away. And maybe you don't have any relations to watch minor hockey around the region. Go watch the Rangers. It's great hockey. OHL and junior hockey is underratedly very entertaining. They're typically very high scoring. There's typically a lot of, you know, kerfuffles and shenanigans and extracurricular activities after the whistle. So no matter what kind of fan of hockey you are, maybe you like the pure speed and skill, you get that in OHL. You get that a lot. Very, very high scoring games occasionally. If you're a fan of the rough stuff, which I am, if you're a fan of the chippiness and the game within the game, there's that in the OHL, but also maybe you're more of a kind of a tempered hockey fan. Maybe you enjoy the chess match. Maybe you enjoy those low scoring, those 2-1 games, those 3-2 finals where the goalies are only facing 20-25 shots each, and these are quality shots each time. And it's not back and forth, back and forth. It's very responsible defensively. It's shutdown defense, stifling forechecking. If you like that sort of game, you'll also get that game. Of course, if you tuned in to the Rangers last game, you got that game. It's a 2-1 final. Of course, at home at the Kitchener Memorial Auditorium. Of course, they did not win that game. They're against the visiting London Knights, who, of course, find themselves as the best team in the league. As that was a great primer going into the postseason, facing the best team in the league in your third last game. They end up on the losing end in regulation, 2-1. But of course, again, tonight they face the Owen Sound. Where are they? I'm trying to find their record. There it is. The Owen Sound attack. Of course, they are out of the playoffs. Currently, as we speak, they sit 7th in the West. Sorry, 8th in the West with 57 points. So, you know, on paper, you expect the Rangers to perhaps come out on the winning side of the column tonight. But this will also be a trap game. Of course, trap game is when a high-ranked team faces a low-ranked team. Typically ends up, as you're heading into the postseason, where the high-ranked team just kind of has all their energy and eyes set on the playoffs, and the lower-seeded team has nothing to lose, and they scrap and they fight. And it's not unusual to see some of these lower-ranked teams eke out wins against playoff teams going into the postseason. You see that in hockey, at all levels of hockey. You see that at likes in basketball. Not too much in football, but you see it sometimes, baseball especially, You know, you have to be worried of the trap game. Maybe one here tonight as they face against the visiting Owen Sound attack. And then again, and Sunday, they face off against the Highway 7 rivals, the Guelph Storm, who find themselves at the bottom of the Western Conference in the OHL and find themselves second last in the league, only beating the Peterborough Petes. Of course, I have friends and family who live in Peterborough, and they occasionally frequent the Peterborough Petes game down at the Peterborough Auditorium, and they're not doing hot. They're not doing hot. The Peterborough Petes, not a team you want to be a fan for right now. Of course, they're 45 points, 18 wins, are the worst in the league, and of course, their 18 wins is the only team below 20 wins. Of course, I was looking around the league. Of course, in the Eastern Conference of the OHL, you got the Brantford Bulldogs in first. Love to see it. Hometown Barry Colts. They're making playoffs. Barry Colts tend to have a strong team, typically year in, year out. And they have one this year. Of course, in third, the Kingston Frontenacs. Then the Oshawa Generals, Brampton Steelhead, Sudbury Wolves, and Niagara Ice Dogs, of course, notably Sudbury Wolves. One of the more inconsistent teams in the league. You were wondering maybe they drop out of the playoff picture. They don't. They've clinched playoffs, 69 points. And Sudbury Wolves, of course, coming out of, guess what? Sudbury, you win a point. Of course, I've been a guest on CKLU 96.7. That's a radio station up in Sudbury, AM, FM. And they cover the Sudbury Wolves. And I've been a guest on that with on their sports show, Swing to Drive Home. I've been a guest on there a couple times. Each time, we always get talking about the Sudbury Wolves. And will they actually make the playoffs? They start off the season really poorly. Then they got really good. They got a couple key players back around mid-November. And they pushed up the standings. They did really well. And then they fell back down around January, maybe February, and we were getting worried. We were talking to each other on air. We're going like, are they falling out of a playoff position here? They have lost a couple in a row. They've lost a couple that they should have won, and they've lost a couple by scores of 7-2, 6-1. Of course, the Wolves are the highest penalized team in the league, and it's a give and take, because Sudbury Wolves, if you don't know anything about OHL, Sudbury Wolves are known for being a penalized team. They are known for being chippy. They're known for being undisciplined. They're known for standing up for each other, as you could put it. And so it's kind of given that Sudbury Wolves would be among the top half of the league in penalties, stuff like that. But there comes a moment where that team identity of like being a hard team to face against, you want to instill that, you want to maintain that while also still not costing your team games by taking dumb penalties. And that's what the Wolves were doing through a lot of the latter half of January into February. We're taking dumb teams that hurt dumb penalties that hurt the team. And great teams, you know, you have to match that intensity and that, you know, dirtiness, chippiness, with, you know, scoring, winning games, playing smartly, playing disciplined. And think of a lot of great teams. If you think of hockey, we think of chippy teams, you know, that won. You think the Bruins' identity throughout pretty well their entire last 100 years, really starting with Eddie Shore, was being incredibly chippy while still being skilled. Think of the last, you know, even since the 21st, you know, start Y2K, 21st century. Think of the Bruins. Who do you think of? You think of Chara. What a big body that was. He was down to fight. He was down to lay the body. Brad Marchand, recently traded. Haven't eaten my shoe yet, but I might. I might have to. I said I'd eat my shoe if he got traded. He got traded the next hour. Going to find out if it tastes good. I might eat my shoe. Brad Marchand, maybe the chippiest player in the league. But you couldn't picture him on another team because he exemplified that Bruins model, spectacularly. You think of other chippy teams who were successful. You think of the Broad Street Bullies, mid-70s Philadelphia Flyers, the first expansion team coming out of 1967, six-team expansion, to really hit it big. And they made their model of being chippy while still scoring. Sudbury Wolves have no problem being chippy. They just have a problem scoring. And it comes a time where you're chipping it. You have to be smart about it. I think that's my point here. Look at the great teams who obviously the Wolves kind of embody in terms of their chippiness, the Bruins, the Flyers. Yeah, you have to balance that. You have to be chippy smartly. And the Wolves were not doing that. They've cleaned it up recently, though, to get back on track. Sudbury Wolves have cleaned it up. Of course, they're at 69 points. Of course, again, clinching a spot in the Eastern Conference. That's a team that if they're all firing on all cylinders, they can play well. And they have some great players on their team. And, of course, they're a team that, you know, when they play well and play disciplined, they're one of the more dangerous teams in the league. But it just comes few and far between. Interesting how the Wolves do in the OHL playoffs. It'll be interesting to see how the hometown Barrie Colts, for me, they do. And, of course, out of the Tri-Cities, keep an eye on the Kitchener Rangers. Of course, playoff games coming home at the Kitchener Memorial Auditorium. Make sure you get your tickets for that because nothing more exciting than junior hockey playoffs. London Knights, of course, in the same conference as the Rangers. And, of course, they lead not the conference, but also the league. They're the favorites, the Storied London Knights franchise, of course. The only team above 100 points in the OHL, and they have 110. Also happening in March, I don't know if you've heard of this or not. It's also March Madness for basketball fans and sports fans everywhere. The NCAA annual tradition, March Madness, started, of course, earlier this week. As I'm trying to get my... There we go. I'm trying to get this to work. It's working now. Of course, March Madness. Starting soon, the round of 32, I believe. Starting today, the first round. Starting yesterday and today. Of course, the first four matches occurring a couple days ago. And all the matches starting today and tomorrow. We get into the second round. Of course, round of 32 starts tomorrow. Then we get to Sweet 16 in a couple days. Then quickly, we get to the Elite Eight, the Final Four, occurring in early April. Of course, so keep tracking. Today is the first round, round of 64. Tomorrow, starting the weekend, we get into the round of 32. Next week, we'll get into the Sweet 16. And then a couple days after that, we'll get to the Elite Eight. And then couple days after that, we'll get into the Final Four and then the championship on April 7th. Some notable highlights, of course, those who have already clinched the round, or clinched their berth in the round of 32, Auburn, Creighton, Michigan, and of course, Texas A&M. You also see Houston in there, Gonzaga's makes it in there. Purdue, of course, a perennial NCAA candidate. Drake, Texas Tech, Arkansas, St. John's, UCLA, no shocker there. Tennessee, no shocker there. Wisconsin, no shocker there. And then BYU, I don't know one that offhand. BYU is Brigham Young University out of Utah. It looks like UT, pride of Provo, Utah. It's a very high research activity. It was founded in 1875 by religious leader Brigham Young, which I didn't know. I've heard of the name Brigham. I don't know if it's actually how you pronounced it. The only guy I know named Brigham is Brigham Phillips, who did a bunch of Irish music CDs. But it's an Irish name. You know, it's spelt Brigham, but you don't have to actually pronounce like Bram or something like that because Ireland, you know. Look up how you spell Siobhan, right? S-I-O-B-H-A-N, fun fact. So I'm like, they can't be actually pronounced Brigham, though. But no, it's actually pronounced Brigham. So now I know Brigham Phillips. And now I know Brigham Young University out of Utah. So if you ever find yourself in Utah, shout out, that's my pick right now. BYU, that is my pick in the East. NCAA, why is Utah in the East? We don't care. Of course, next week will be many more results coming out of the NCAA March Madness. So we'll cover it in more detail next week. But that being said, of course, games are going on right now. So I'm sure if you tune into any sort of sports station, probably TSN, Sportsnet, typically it's TSN up here north of the border, south of the border. I believe it's carried on like NBC, CBS, and those related sports channels. If you're a basketball fan or just a collegiate sports fan in general, make sure you check out March Madness. It gets kicked underway. Really gets in full spectacle this weekend. So make sure also everyone's, you know, March Madness, everyone has their March Madness bracket. Make sure you do yours. And make sure you bet on it, too. Oh, I'm kidding. I don't endorse sports betting. Bet responsibly if you choose to. Of course, everyone needs an... You know, anyways, make sure you do your brackets. Make sure you see, you know, maybe you win. Of course, Bracket Buster. Have competition with your friends. That's always the big deal. Your March Madness pool. Of course, you heard it here, folks, right now. Making it all the way to the championship game. Brigham Young University out of Provo, Utah. Roll Brigham Young. Founded in 1875. The more you know, no one can ever say Golden Bold is not educational. Turning it over to professional sports. We covered local sports, Laurier sports. We covered collegiate sports, Laurier sports, NCAA. We covered OHL, junior sports, Kitchener Rangers, Sudbury Wolves, Barry Colts. And it's time to cover professional sports, and we cover this sport a lot here. Of course, it's my main league of choice. It's the NHL. And, of course, news coming out of Washington last night. Alex Ovechkin, 6 goals away from Wayne Gretzky's all-time goals record. Of course, Wayne Gretzky, 894 goals. And Ovechkin, 6 behind. He's 6 from tying and 7 from breaking. Of course, so he's at 888 goals for the great 8. And what a season he's having. And I'm sure this is like the main storyline of the NHL season. I haven't talked about it too much on this show because everywhere else is talking about it. But we want to take a moment just discuss Alex Ovechkin's goal chase. The Russian machine never breaks, does it? I don't know what's in the water there. If you ask the Olympics in 2016, there was something in the water. But the run that Alex Ovechkin has been on has been absolutely wild, insane, preposterous, shocking, alarmingly incredible, and generational. Gretzky is the holder of like 50 NHL records. Wayne Gretzky is the greatest NHL player of all time. That's not a hot take. It used to not be hot. Now no one likes Gretzky anymore because of the whole, you know, political stuff. But Gretzky, personalities aside, Gretzky is the greatest NHL player of all time. That is nothing controversial. Everyone accepts that. He is the GOAT, the greatest of all time in hockey. 894 goals is just an unfathomably large number of goals in a career. It's just really hard to wrap your mind around. And for a modern player, an Alex Ovechkin, to be breaking the record as soon as the end of the season, he could break it this season. He likely might. At the rate he's scoring, he will break it at the end of the season. He might break it, might get 2 goals away, might break it at the start of next season. But it's just unbelievable what Alex Ovechkin has, the run he's been on. In this, back in the 80s and 90s, Gretzky's prime, 1979 to around 92, 93, from the Oilers and the Kings. That was a high-scoring period. If you watch clips from NHL in the 80s, the goalies, you could put, like, my 2-year-old nephew in net, and he'd probably have close to the same save percentage as a 1980s NHL goaltender. They didn't really go down that much. They just kind of came out and tried to be as skinny as possible. They had no, like, stick control. It was really only until the 90s that the likes of Patrick Wall and Dominik Hasek really shut down offense on other teams and became, you know, the models of the modern goaltender. In the 80s, it was a free-scoring, high-scoring, exciting, but incredibly high-scoring era. So for Ovechkin to to break Gretzky's record in a significantly lower scoring era is wild. This also includes, he got a season wiped out to the 04-05 lockout. He was drafted in 2004, and the lockout wiped out that entire season. Year lockouts might wipe out half a season, quarter of a season. We saw it in 2011-2012 at the NHL. 04-05, entire season was lost. So he loses one entire season. I talked about, then he also had a lockout shortened season in 2012. So he loses that too. So he's missing a season and a half. So he probably would have broken it a season and a half ago if he not missed out on those. And he's still at age 39, still performing like he's 25. It's incredible. I don't know how he does it. It's generational. We said this when Gretzky set the record. He retired in 1999, 894 goals. He retired. Everyone's like, no one's going to break it. Just another Gretzky record no one's going to break. Then Ovechkin will pass 894 goals and will likely make it past 900. He scores 12 more goals over the next rest of this season and all of next season. He will. He'll make it past 900 goals. And we will all say that will never be eclipsed again. But we said the same thing when Gretzky set the record. So we thought it was an unbeatable record. Now it's getting beat. Will Ovechkin ever get passed? Let's say he retires. Let's say he just scores like 20 goals next year. Let's see, he breaks the record this year. He ends the season 895 goals. And he gets 20 goals next year. And then goes off to the KHL and retires, like he said he will, because he's Russian. KHL, of course, the Russian Hockey League. That means he retires with 915 goals. I didn't think anyone was going to beat 894 goals. I don't see anyone beating 915 goals or more. Anything over 900 goals. Yet, if someone could beat Gretzky, someone might beat Ovechkin. So, it'll be 50 years down the line. They'll have some superhuman athlete genetically modified to, you know, be the, you know, created in a lab to be the greatest hockey player of all time. That, you know, that might occur. But naturally, I don't see it. Of course, the Capitals also being the first team to clinch a playoff spot in the NHL last night. Of course, the Capitals, again, the first team to clinch a playoff position in the NHL, as teams are about 14, 13, 12 games away from the end of the 82-game schedule. And the playoffs remain so wide open. Talked about it last week. I'm sure I talked about it the week before. And we'll talk about it again. As each handful of games on each week's edition of Golden Bullet, it just creates so much interest and intrigue into how the NHL playoff will go. Again, the Atlantic Division, the top three in the division are generally sorted out. It's been this way since November. Panthers, Leafs, Lightning. That's a stacked top three. Panthers, Leafs, Lightning. The order of those may change. They're all within 2 points of each other. Senators look like they were striving for third in the Atlantic Division. They're about 8 points behind Lightning, so likely won't be able to squeak into the top three of the division, but they are very likely to hold on to a playoff position. They're in the first wild card spot. First wild card spot for the Senators team that looked like they were They were rebuilding, and they were improving since 2017, since Chris Kunitz ended their franchise in the playoffs of 2017. They're rebuilding since then. So that was 8 years ago. And finally, they're not only in a playoff position, but they look strong and they have a firm grasp on that playoff position. So Senators fans are rejoicing. They'll likely end up in the playoffs, barring any, you know, catastrophe or any losing streak. But they also employ Travis Hamonic, so that is always an option. So don't rest on your laurels yet, Senators fans. But below them in the wildcard position, of course, the wildcard position are the two best teams not in the top three of their division, so come from either the Atlantic Division or the Metro Division in the East. Both teams in the wildcard position to come from the Atlantic. Senators at 77 points. And the Montreal Canadiens, another Canadian content, CanCon. We love CanCon here at the radio. 74 points for the Habs. So Senators, Canadiens in playoff positions in the East. And last week, it was so, like, there's six teams that could be in the wildcard race. Now it's kind of spread out. Senators at 77 points. Canadiens at 74 points. Those are the two wildcard teams. But 72 points a pop, just one win behind tying the Canadiens in points, are the New York Islanders and the New York Rangers. If the Rangers make the playoffs after the season they've had, I won't eat my shoe, but I'll do something as equally as appalling, because they have no right to be in a playoff position. They sold their captain, Jacob Trouba, 2 months in the season because they were so bad. They're at the bottom of the Metro. Bottom one, bottom two of the Metropolitan Division. But quietly, they've just been a slightly above average team. And they're just 2 points away from the second wildcard position. Of course, tied with them are the New York Islanders. A very unassuming team. A lot of people just kind of don't really think about them that often. But they're, again, just 2 points away from the second wildcard position in the East as well. Blue Jackets, that's who I want to see make it, which is tough because Senators and Canadian teams, I want them to make it above everyone else. But if I had to choose a third team I'd want to make, it would be the Columbus Blue Jackets, 71 points, and 1.5 away from the Canadiens' second wildcard position. That's 71 points. What a season. What a miracle. No one expected them to do anything. If they won 10 games a season, we would be happy and impressed. But no, they're, again, 3 points away from a wild card position. And they were holding the wild card position in the second one just a few weeks ago. They're still in the race. Of course, 1 point behind the Blue Jackets. Red Wings are 70 points. Second wild card position is 74 points. Red Wings at 70 points. They were in a wild card position at 1 point in the season as well. They're exchanging it with the Senators, Canadiens, Blue Jackets. Islanders at 1 point, I believe. And they have had a terrible March. Look out for the Ides of March, as Detroit Red Wings have been 2-8 in their last 10. 2-8. Where's the... Do we have a boo? I won't do that again. Detroit Red Wings, in their last 10 games, in must-win March, with their eyes on the postseason, looking for their first playoff berth in seasons, in years. These are must-win games to get into the playoffs. In their last 10 games in the month of March, the Detroit Red Wings are 2-8. So make sure to hug your Red Wings fan. This happened last year. Fun fact. Actually, it's kind of a joke. Not the team, but maybe. But the Red Wings struggles in the month of March. I think at one point before they won their second of the last 10, they were like 1-13 this season and last season combined in the month of March. These are must-win games. You're on the cusp of a wild card position. And when the kettle is hot, and the stovetop is cooking, they cannot handle the heat. However, the Red Wings still just 4 points away from playoff position. They could always turn around. They have the roster that can do that. Mort Sider, Lucas Raymond, Dylan Larkin, Peter Mrazek, for an odd reason I don't quite understand. They traded for him at the deadline. decisions were made, and they were made. I don't agree with them, but they were made. They're strange decisions, but that's kind of the joy of the trade deadline. They got Peter Mrazek. Why not? Morale. They have the roster that can turn this ship around. I don't have faith they will, but they might. So keep an eye on the Red Wings. Then 1 point behind the Red Wings, the Boston Bruins, who likely won't end up making the playoffs again. They sold at the deadline. They sold Marchand. They sold Carlo. They sold Coyle. Three of perhaps some of their best players and the most veteran players. Their identity of that team has taken a hit with the losses of their captain, Marchand, Brandon Carlo, terrific defenseman, and Charlie Coyle, one of their centermen, second-line center. Sometimes first-line center, provided Pavel Zacha doesn't do that well. They are 5 points behind the wildcard position with 69 points. So while we've seen a bit of a spreading out, I think you're still in the hunt if you're within 4, 5, 6 points. Because all, like, you just need to go on a, like, I say it as if, like, it's easy to do. Bruins have also been on a 4-game losing streak. So they're probably out. But they could, maybe you get on a good road trip, or maybe you have a good home stand where a lot of visiting teams are, you know, not that good, are below you in the standings, might be able to squeak, you know, 4 wins on the home out of 5 on a home stand, and suddenly you're back in this if the teams above you drop a couple. So anything can happen. They're not out of the playoffs yet. Of course, recap in the East, Senators, Canadiens. 1-2, Canadian teams. 6 of 7 Canadian teams are in the playoffs. And of course, the 3 Canadian teams in the East are Maple Leafs, Senators, Canadiens. But on the Canadiens' heel, likes of New York Islanders, New York Rangers, Columbus Blue Jackets, Detroit Red Wings, and Boston Bruins, if you're optimistic. In the West, go West, young man. Winnipeg Jets, of course, tied for first in the league, and of course, alone at top of the Central Division and top of the West, 100 points for the Winnipeg Jets. They are in the playoffs. Stars behind them in the Central Division. Top 3 in the Central Division making the playoffs right now. It's the Winnipeg Jets, the Dallas Stars, and Nathan MacKinnon's Colorado Avalanche. The wild card position for the West is also strange. Of course, in the Pacific Division, the top 3, Golden Knights, Oilers, Kings. Kings have really, I won't say come out of nowhere, but it was, I didn't expect them to do that well this season. I don't think they made the moves they should have. They don't have a particularly, you know, stunning roster. And they've been trounced round one of the playoffs by the Oilers for what seems the last 10 years. I think the last 3. But it's been a while. Stained. It's been a while. So they've come out of nowhere, and they're now top 3 in the Pacific. Now, I say coming out of nowhere, but the teams, like, but by default, they're 3rd in the Pacific because no one else wants to be. The Canucks and Flames haven't decided if they're missing the playoffs or they're making it yet. Canucks find themselves, and the Flames were both in the wildcard position 2 weeks ago. Now they're both out of the wildcard position. They don't know what the hell to do. They don't know what to do. They don't want to make it, but they also kind of do. They can't decide if they want to try or not. And that lacking and that delaying of decisions have let the Minnesota Wild, which were always expected, they're a very strong Central Division, and the Pacific Division, they'd be 3rd instead of the Kings. But they find themselves in Central. They find themselves in the first wildcard spot. Second wildcard spot, don't look now, occupied by the St. Louis Blues, which just a few weeks ago, no one was thinking. They're below Utah in the standings just a couple weeks ago, Utah Hockey Club. But they have passed Utah in the standings, and then they've also passed the Flames and the Canucks for that second wildcard position. Now, that being said, Blues only have 77 points, but they have a very, very easy schedule to end the season. They have the weakest schedule, I believe, of anyone in a wildcard position in the West. So should the Blues win the games they should, they might be looking at the playoffs. Now, I like the Blues. I really like the Blues. They're like a top 3 American team I like. You know, when I think American team, I like the Bruins. I like the Rangers. And I like the Blues. Those are my 3 American teams. That and like Utah, because that's funny. The Kraken, that's funny. But in terms of actually half-decent hockey clubs, Bruins, Rangers, and then the Blues. So it's nice to see the Blues in the playoff position again. At 77 points, hanging on to the last wild card position. At 76 points is the Vancouver Canucks. 75 points, it's Calgary Flames. And at 73 points, so 4 points away, remains the Utah Hockey Club. So not as packed as the East's drive for the last wild card spot, but it is the Blues, the Canucks, and the Flames, with the Blues in the driver's seat in the playoff hunt in the Eastern Division of the NHL. Of course, moving on. Look at my bulletin I planned for the show here. NHL playoff looks, Ovechkin goals. On Leafs, let's talk about the Leafs just for a bit here. As of course, they're coming off a pair of wins. I say a pair of wins. They've been coming off 3 wins. Of course, they beat my Flames back on Monday, St. Patrick's Day. Of course, they wore the St. Patrick's Day uniforms, which remain the greatest jersey in the history of jerseys. We love the Toronto St. Pats. I have a hat. On Wednesday, they beat the Avalanche 2-1. Very strong Avalanche team. Nathan MacKinnon, Cale Makar, Devin Toews. No longer Mikko Rantanen. Tune in, look up last week's episode and the week before to hear our discussions of Mikko Rantanen and Saga this season. And then the Leafs, yes, last night, they beat the Rangers 4-3. So the Rangers, that was a tough loss for them in their playoff hunts. But the Leafs are back at it again for Saturday night, hockey night in Canada. Tomorrow night, they are against the Nashville Predators. Let's talk about Nashville for a second. What a disappointing season Nashville has had. The Predators have had. I'm not saying that as a hater. I'm not saying that to make fun of them. I don't mind the Predators. I think they're good. But what a disappointing season they've had. That's just objective. That is just a fact. They went out in free agency this past year. And everyone's coming out of free agency thinking the Predators won free agency. Knowing they get Jonathan Marchessault, a great, solid player. He's not a star player, but a great, solid player. And Jonathan Marchessault. They get Steven Stamkos. Now, he's aged a bit. Listeners might hear that name and go, oh, I've heard that name 10 years ago. Yeah, he was probably the greatest goal scorer 10 years ago, him and Ovechkin. He's up there in age. And he left Tampa in free agency, signed a contract with the Predators. And he was still doing pretty well with the Lightning. He's 33, 34, 35, last couple years with Lightning. He was still doing pretty well. He was injured, notably on those cup runs. But he was a solid player. He wasn't anywhere near a write-off or anything like that. Predators get Stamkos. And they brought in a couple other additions. And for whatever reason, it did not click. And at the start of the season, it wasn't clicking. Everyone's like, it started the season, woes. They've got a lot of new players. It'll take time to develop chemistry. We're not too worried. And now it's past the time of worrying. It is stunning to see the Predators with a roster that strong. Roman Josi, a perennial Norris candidate. Jussi Saros, when he's on, he's one of the best goaltenders in the league. No matter what they do, Philip Forsberg is perhaps the most underrated player in the league. Also has the best mustache in the league. Predators also, before the trade deadline, had Luke Shen. Not a game breaker, but I like Luke Shen. Shout out Luke Shen. I know you're listening. And they've just not been able to get it together. And their general manager, Barry Trotz, has tried everything, unable to put a good team, or not a good team, because they have a good team, a connected team together. Head coach, Andrew Brunette, who I was never really a fan of, nor his sister. Miss Brunette, not a huge fan of her either. Shout out Miss Brunette and Andrew Brunette. I know they're listening. He's the head coach. He's been unable, I lost my thought, to put a winning team together, unable to put a winning product on the ice that is coherent, that is connected, that has a game plan, and doesn't fall in the face of adversity. Predators should be a playoff team with their roster. They have one of the best goaltenders in the league, one of the best defenders in the league, and a strong forward group. They have Ryan O'Reilly. That's who I knew there's three signings. Marchessault, Stamkos. They have Ryan O'Reilly and Philip Forsberg, who's very good, very underratedly good. He gets so much attention on any other big market team. Roman Josi's injured. But they got Brady Shea. That's the one I was talking about. O'Reilly was last year. Stamkos, Brady Shea, and Jonathan Marchessault, the big three signings on the Predators. And none of them had any chemistry. None of them worked well together. And it's been a wash of a year for the Nashville Predators, who looked with those signings to get back into the playoffs and be a contending team. They're not even a contending team. They're not even in the playoffs. They're at the bottom of the standings. Speaking of the bottom of standings, what about those Wizards out of the NBA, huh? They're the team changing gears now. Only a big 3 minutes left in the program. The Wizards, of course, of the NBA at the bottom of the NBA standings look to be the team with the greatest odds of landing the first overall pick. Aspirations Raptors fans once had have now eroded away into the sea as the Raptors still not in the playoff position, not even at 400 points percentage, but they still have like six teams below them in the overall NBA standings. That's six teams with the better odds at clinching that first overall draft pick in the upcoming draft in the NBA. Of course, the Raptors really turned it on in March, end of February. They turned it on at the start of the season. I say turn on. They didn't win a lot of games, but they're exciting to watch and they're entertaining. And then they just got into a terrible, boring slump into December, into January, into the start of February. And then they've turned it on out of nowhere. That being said, they have lost their last three, but they've also won their last three and had little 2-3-game winning streaks coming into this recent losing skid. So while it's nice to see the Raptors win, they are getting further away from the first overall draft pick. Of course, below them in the standings include the aforementioned Wizards, Charlotte Hornets, Brooklyn Nets, the 76ers, the Jazz, of course, and the Pelicans. At the top of the standings, clinching the playoffs are not only the Boston Celtics, but also the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Oklahoma Thunder. Also joining them soon in clinching those positions will be the Knicks, likely Indiana Pacers, likely Denver Nuggets, Rockets, the Lakers, anyone, you know, in the top four or five of the conference, their playoff positions are fairly safe. Of course, especially in the West, tight West, of course, 1-9 above 500. In the East, it's only 1-6. Of course, the West above the playoff line, Timberwolves, Clippers, Warriors, Grizzlies, Lakers, Nuggets, Rockets, Thunder. In the East, Cavaliers, Celtics. Knicks, Pacers, Bucks, Pistons, Hawks, and the Magic. Fans of those teams will be happy to hear those name drops. And if I didn't say your favorite team, they're probably not looking at the postseason. Nope. There we go. We were close. We were so close. And yet so far. And with that, doesn't an hour just fly by to mindlessly listening to me talk here on RadioLaurie.com? Keep tuned, though, because after this show, we'll have Film Score Fridays, which is another amazing show, probably better than this one, where they discuss film scores, their usage in movies, their musical movements, their influence, and their greater, This has been Gold and Bold. March 21st, 2025 episode of Gold and Bold. My name's Ian Bill. I'm sports manager here at Radio Lori. Just in case you missed it at the start of the program, Kitchener Rangers, Tri-Cities OHL team, Waterloo Region, they play tonight at home against the visiting Owen Sound Attack. Check that out for some great hockey. Rangers clinch the playoffs. They're heading to the postseason. Make sure you check on playoff tickets for that. OUA seasons are wrapping up. We got the hockey results in last weekend. Of course, UFT Varsity Blues capturing the McCaw Cup over the University Ave. Just down University Ave at Waterloo Warriors. Varsity Blues, McCaw Cup champions, women's hockey champions for the OUA. Men's hockey champions, the Queen's Cup champions is Concordia. Of course, besting TMU Bold. Concordia, UFT. Men's and women's, respectively, OUA champions. NHL playoffs are wild. Make sure to keep an eye on that. March Madness got started. Make sure to make your brackets before it all gets filled out. Make sure to compete with your friends, and we'll have much more NCAA coverage once it starts really getting going next week on Gold and Bold. Thanks for listening. Keep it on RadioLore.com, and have a great rest of your Friday and a great weekend. See you guys later.